Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from the Old Testament reading for the second Sunday in Advent in Malachi 4. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. It shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. This is God's word. One of the great authors of the 20th century was C.S. Lewis, who was famous for The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and the Chronicles of Narnia, the children's books. He was perhaps more notably renowned for being someone who began his life as an atheist, and later, through good friends and conversation, became convinced of the gospel of Jesus Christ and came to faith in him. And later on in his life, C.S. Lewis wrote a book called The Great Divorce. The Great Divorce is a book. It's a fictional piece, but it's meant to describe what it would be like if you could take a bus tour of heaven and get a glimpse for what heaven is like for someone who's not yet there. And in that book, C.S. Lewis draws the comparison that when you're a person who doesn't have the hope of heaven, when you're a person for whom hell awaits, it's like living at twilight, at dusk, at sunset, because you have the last vestiges of light shining around you, but what awaits you is the dark and all the evil and terror that's hidden within it. But on the flip side, he describes those who wait for heaven as those who live at sunrise, at daybreak, at dawn. Because though the night is around them, the night is about to be scattered away, and the hope and promise and warmth and light of the new day is what awaits you. So, dear Christians, are you living at sunset or are you living at sunrise? Because the two can be mistaken for the other. They have similar appearances. I mean, if you think about the amount of light in the sky at corresponding points, sunrise, sunset, it's identical. The only thing that lets you know whether it's sunrise or sunset is your orientation to the day that's been. Either I've just been through a day full of light and now it's getting dark, or I've just been through a night full of dark and now it's getting light, or your direction, right? Because the sun always rises in the east, the sun always sets in the west. But if you were woken up and had no sense of what time of day it was or which direction you were facing, you saw the light, you might not know whether it was sunrise or sunset. The prophet Malachi delivers the word of the Lord to talk about the coming day of the Lord, the day in which the Lord will return to his people in glory. Now, that very same day will be for some a setting of the sun. There will be dark and terror ahead of them. But for others, it will be the rising of the sun, the scattering of the darkness, the gloom being chased away, and hope and joy springing eternal and shining its warmth upon the people of God. Which one is it? Malachi 4, verse 1 The Lord describes that his day will be burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who fear my name, the Lord says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall, and you shall tread down the wicked, for they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord of hosts. Now let me ask you a question, dear people of God, for that is what we are. We are his people, his children. Is the coming day of the Lord a curse, or is it a blessing? Is the day of the Lord that will come upon us on the last day, is it a day of fear, or is it a day of hope? Let me put it this way. For you, dear Christian, is the brightest light behind you in the past, or does it still lie in front of you? We as Christians, in large part, have not learned how to look for the end of the world. And that's unfortunate, because we, the people of God, have missed out on a great source of hope and joy and comfort that says that our Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth at his first advent 2,000 years ago, will come again. As he left this earth on Ascension Day and ascended into the clouds, so he will come again on the clouds. And that news, dear friends in Christ, is meant to fill you with unspeakable, tremendous hope. Because we are people that right now are surrounded by darkness, evil and wickedness and death on every side of us. But we look for the hope and the warmth of the sun to break upon us, the Son of Righteousness that rises with healing in its wings. We are looking for the darkness to be scattered away, because we, dear Christians, are people who look to the sunrise. We realize that the brightest light has not already shone in our lives, but the brightest light is yet to come. I want you to notice how Jesus spoke about his coming again in our gospel for today from Luke 21. Jesus says, there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations and perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. People fainting with fear and foreboding of what is coming on the world. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, Jesus says, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, I'm a middle-aged person, right? I've lived almost 43 years on this earth. And in those 43 years, there have been moments that I've heard people talk and wonder if somehow the end of all things must be upon us. And certainly 2020 has lent itself to all kinds of doomsday talk. Are we coming near on the end of the world? The answer to that is, well, we should sure hope so. Whether that end is tomorrow, or in 1 year, or in 5 years, or in 100 years, we can't. cannot say, but when we see distress in the nation, signs in sun and moon, when you see a world that's broken all around you, get ready, Jesus says, because your redemption's about to draw near. Because you see what Jesus does is he describes your salvation as something that's not just off in the past, not just something that's here in the present, but something that's coming in the future. In fact, all three are true. You could just as equally say, Jesus redeemed me 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross for all of my sin. You can just as easily say, Jesus is redeeming me now when he forgives my sins and feeds me his body and blood in the Lord's Supper. And you can likewise say, he will redeem me in the future when he comes again, the Son of Righteousness on the clouds, scattering darkness of sin and death and evil forever. All are true. Christians look forward to the end of the world because we are not beholden to the night. We are not people of the sunset, people of dusk, with darkness and terror ahead of us. We are those who call sin for what it is, call evil for what it is, call the devil for what he is. We recognize these things around us and we look to the Son of Righteousness who rises with healing in his wings. We look to the breaking of a new day when Christ our Lord shall return on the clouds, the Son of Man, with great power and great glory. Last Sunday, I talked to you about the word exile, about how the people of Israel were an exile people. They were people forced from the place where they belonged, their promised land, into Babylon. But that God was faithful and would restore them. Well, Malachi the prophet writes to the people post-exile. He writes about 100 years after the people of Judah, the Jewish people as they're becoming called at this time, as they have come back from Babylon and are making their home in the promised land once again. But Israel was just a shell of its former self. Israel was not what it once used to be. And evil and wickedness and darkness surrounded the people of God. So through Malachi, the Lord delivered a word to his people to look towards the sunrise, to orient themselves toward the day of the Lord, to look with great hope and longing to the Lord breaking into this world. The Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. King David in Psalm 30 reflects this beautifully when he says of the Lord, his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. You see, dear friends, we are surrounded by the night as we speak. But night is always followed by daybreak. Look to the sunrise. Look to the east. Look to your Lord Jesus, who will come again for you to redeem you. A lot of the oldest church buildings actually reflected this beautifully in their architecture. Our building doesn't do it. Our building has its altar right here on the southern wall of the building. But in the oldest churches, they always built the altar on the eastern wall. In fact, I may have seen some early floor plans and blueprints of this building from the 50s and 60s that may have suggested that may have been the plan at one point to build the altar on the east. That's fine. It doesn't matter for us in this moment. But spiritually, we are people who look to the east. Because when we gather before the altar of God, we gather before our Lord Jesus, who comes to us, a Son of righteousness to shine into the darkness of our lives. And he comes with healing. He heals you today as your sins are forgiven. He heals you today in the body and blood given for you. So, dear friends, look to the sunrise. Don't give in to the night. Don't embrace the things of darkness. But turn your eyes in faith to the one who will come again for you. And whose coming for you will be the greatest joy we could ever know. May God fill your hearts with hope and joy for that day. Today and always, until he does come again. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.